Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
If all radio stations in town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconuts.
Check this out, we got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, check it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited for him.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Clear the throat there, because we've got a show for you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world. This is Darren Andrew, one of the Double D's on Moving Beyond the Matrix on freedomizerradio.com. And boy, when I say we've got a show today, we've got a caller coming in, a good old friend of mine. I mean, if you're a long-term listener of ours, you're going to know this guy, you're going to know his name, you're going to know what he does. But just for you guys out there that don't know, we'll bring him in soon, but he's got some stories to tell, and we love stories, especially real ones. Now, believe it or not, these stories are actually real. They happened to him, and he just told us the other day, and we were thinking, well, wow, that's great material for our show, so we're going to use that kind of stuff, because this is the juicy stuff that we actually like, and any other callers, especially on a Sunday. We like to do the call-in on Sundays because we have an extended time on a Sunday. But on Wednesdays, we only have like an hour and a half to do, so we like to fit as much as we can in on there. But Sundays, we'll try and save that for all the callers. So tonight, we got a caller. Maybe later on, any questions, we can have more callers call in. So just listen out for the number or check out the number. I mean, which number is it?
319.
It's 319.
527-6208.
So if you want to call in, that's the number for there. But I'm going to hand you over to my trusty co-pilot and beautiful wife, and then she's going to waffle on for a bit about what it is we're talking about tonight.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Moving Beyond the Matrix. I'm very, very excited. As always, I've always been excited. I love podcasts. You know how it is. I'm a talker, and I'll talk until you fall asleep, until you turn blue or I turn blue. But, yes, this is going to be a very exciting night. We are our good friend is coming on board, and I've known him for 8 years, about 8 years, maybe longer. And he is a very powerful magician. He has a background with, you know, black magic, radionics, psionics, all of that. And he has a story to share that is going to blow your freaking mind, because it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. My jaws dropped when I heard this. I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? He's like, no, this is some real shit going on here. So I'm sure you guys cannot wait to hear this amazing story. And I got to figure out who, okay, first of all, who is who here? Before I can have anybody on, I'm going to ask him what his phone number is. Let's see here. What's your number? So I know whose is who, because another person just called in. I'm thinking it could be the 3081. I'm not sure. But
see, what we should do is everybody else that's called in, hang up apart from our guest, and then we'll have call-ins after our guest.
Yeah, definitely. So let me see what's going on here. Okay, so okay, that's him. Okay, 308. All righty, I'm going to bring him on board right now.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, is this Warren? Hey,
yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, could you put the dude on? You sound like a real fucking dumb bitch. It's him I'm looking to talk. I heard
so
like
nice.
Fucking dick. I heard he's good at it.
Who the fuck is that guy? Did you just hear that?
What?
He just called me an effing bitch, this guy. He's just a weirdo. What the fuck was that guy about? Hello?
A sad person.
Anyway, hello? William, is that you?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you. So what a psycho dick that just fucking called. Call me a real fucking bitch.
I don't know. I don't know who it was. Yeah. Some mystery man,
well,
I guess.
Azazel and Lucifer will take care of his ass real fast.
Yeah.
But anyway, how are you doing, William?
Doing good today. Feeling a little better. And just been working on stuff today.
Really?
Nothing magic. But yeah, I mean... you know, just getting things ready and preps and this and that. Because the world's a bad place now, you know.
Yeah, I hear you, especially with a lot of shit going on. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't realize. You know, we're talking about energy and energy vampires and parasites. Mm-hmm. It's pretty real, you know. And I'll tell you, from my experience, and I'm actually going to go tomorrow to go through a magnet therapy cleansing again. It lasts like 4 months. But 4 months ago, I went to go get my magnetic therapy cleanse, me and my husband. And it was amazing what they found. They found something sucking on my energy, like reptilians, portals that were open, grays. They found a shitload and parasites and all this stuff all over my body.
Yeah,
and
they'll attach your auric field. Yeah.
And so what happened was, after he did the whole magnetic thing, it took about an hour, and he was doing a chanting on my foot, at the end of my feet. And he told me what happened. When he was done, I had this freaking energy come through. Like, I felt so good. I felt like I was 15 years old again. It was insane. I was like, oh my God, like all this energy, like I could just run 20 freaking, you know, I can run like several miles, you know. It was insane. And they were sucking on my liver and all the stuff that was making me sick all the time. So kind of getting to that point again, you know, I was fine for like 3 to 4 months, and then it's like, I'm going to go back again. So I understand about, you know, there's a lot of energy vampires, things that we don't see. And my kids had the same experience. They went through their magnet cleansing. They had a bunch of grays and reptiles on them as well. Of course, you can't see them, but
right,
they
right.
are on your, they're on your ass, literally. And we become food for these fucking things, you know? So I totally understand. And when we talk about vampires and all that in an energetic level, it is very, very, very true. But you, I would like for you to share your experience, William. First of all, let's start off with who you are, what you do, and then we'll go into the story.
Yep, my name is William, and I've been practicing magic for 40 years. Radionics, psionics, black magic, but I've also practiced gray magic and white magic before that, so I'm well-versed in a lot of stuff, including quite a few different methods of healing with magic, you know, like crystal healing, tuning forks, biomass, all sorts of different things that I've been doing, because if you're going to be in the magic, you should also know a little bit about healing, too, you know. And right. So I've been hard at it for 40 years. It's well, once you've reached that long, it's sometimes it's a little hard to find something new to learn. So, but boy, yeah. I sure learned new. I learned something new at the hospitals. Not that I didn't know that vampires were real. I did. I've come across some, and these were blood-sucking vampires, by the way. They were not the astral kind, but rather the physical blood-drinking type. Because you have... Yeah, you have the vampire wannabes, which play the game of being vampires, and they'll bite each other a little bit or cut each other, drink a little bit of each other's blood, and then, you know, have sexual intercourse, things like that. The wannabes, though, have warm blood running through their veins. The real vampires are as ice cold. It's like taking a tray of ice out of your freezer, literally that cold when you touch them. They are literally the living dead. And I was at a hospital by the name of Mercy Medical Center, which is now owned by Cleveland Clinic here in Ohio. It's in northeastern Ohio. If you guys want to look it up sometime, feel free to look it up. It's a very old hospital. I believe that it was started, that hospital was built like in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it's got a lot of strange things going on in that hospital. I use that hospital a lot because, well, they just give you better care in most of it than the other hospital we have here. So I went there, you know, expecting a little bit of strange things, but not like I got last time, which was a couple of months ago. I was in because I had a minor heart attack. It just ended up turning out to be fluid that was resting on the top of my heart muscle caused by C. diff. They cleaned that out, and I was fine. But I was there about 5-6 days and because they wanted to make sure I was good to go. But I was in the ICU unit in the very back of the hospital on the first floor, and the head nurse said to one of her people, wheel him down the hallway and go get him some blood drawn. Well, I kind of thought that was a little weird, you know, but it really didn't register too much, and I didn't really worry about it. They wheeled me down the hallway, bed and all, and I get down to the end of the hallway, and the hallway can go to the right, and then to the left there's a room which happens to have all kinds of square skylights in it. So there was these hues of light coming in from the sun. It was in the afternoon. It hadn't gotten dark yet. There was light rays of square chunks of light coming down and hitting the floor, along with dark spots in between. So it looked like a giant checkerboard. It really did. And the way the lighting was in there, it made it a little bit difficult to see. Ooh. And there was a lady that came up, and she, you know, put the needle in my arm and was getting ready to draw the blood, I thought. So I just kind of laid back and was sitting there meditating and relaxing. And, well, a few seconds later, I look. She's not standing there anymore. And I look down, and she's at the bottom of my bed, on my side of the bed, just about 2 feet past the post at the bottom of the bed. And she had a long hose, like a really long hose, that went all the way down there. And she didn't have any color-coded tubes for drawing blood like a phlebotomist does. No. She had the long tube, and where was it? It was in her mouth, and she was sucking my blood.
Oh, my gosh. That's disgusting.
Most people would have been running down the hallway screaming, oh, Jesus, right? Nope, not me. I sat there. I looked at her, and I said, hey, I was nice. I was nice at first. And I said, hey, lady. You're drinking my blood there. Do you mind? Would you please stop drinking my blood? She looked at me, but she would not respond, and she just kept sucking on that hose. And I waited a few seconds, and she didn't give me a response, so I hollered again. The second time I was nice, and I said, hey, I said, you're stealing my blood. Would you please stop that and answer me? Well, she decided to ignore me again, so finally I yelled at her. I said, hey, if you don't stop stealing my blood, drinking my blood and stealing it, we're going to have a problem here. And she refused to answer me again. So finally, I just laid my head back, and I started chanting to Mighty, Mighty Azazel, and I would chant Azra, Azra, Azazel, until Azazel sent four mighty demons into the room. And when that vampire saw the demon, she immediately clamped off the hose, dropped it on the floor, and ran out into the hallway, right along with another vampire, which I didn't see right away, was behind her, draining someone else. That vampire turned around and also clamped off and ran out into the hallway. Now, there was two rooms at the end of that hallway that had closed doors. I don't know what they were for. I think one of them might have been possibly for security. The other one, I have no idea, but they were standing in the one doorway, huddled in the corner, shaking and shivering because the demons that Azazel sent me actually manifested and showed them their teeth. And they had like four rows of teeth in their mouth. They were fierce as could be. And I saw them opening their mouth and showing their teeth back to the vampires. There was a row of very sharp, barracuda-like, very bright white-colored teeth in the front, and right behind that, a second row of teeth, and behind that, a third row of teeth, and then there was yet a fourth row of teeth. All right behind them. And I looked at them, I'm like, whoa. Yeah, I was like, damn, you guys are pretty awesome looking, right? So I wasn't scared at all because they knew Azazel would protect me. The gatekeepers are wonderful protectors, people. If you get to know and make a good relationship with any of the gatekeepers of hell, you will be protected because they're not evil, and they're here to help mankind. And the word,
definitely.
By the way, it's a Greek word, and it means filled with wisdom and knowledge. It has no evil connotation whatsoever. These beings are ancient gods, and they are here to help us. They're not here to subjugate us. They're not here to harm us. They're here to protect us, teach us, and help us evolve with each of our incarnations until our spirits develop enough that we don't need to come back, because we too then will start climbing the ladder and becoming more powerful and evolved beings. So when the churches came along, they took that word, that Greek word, and they perverted the meaning of it, and they made it sound like something bad because they wanted to terrorize people that believed in the old religions. And so they did a series of things like that to scare people into leaving the old religions and coming and becoming either Christian, Catholic, Muslim, or Jew. And that is the sad reality of it. And
For them to look up to something above them, always, you know what I mean?
And me and Joanna, we're just trying to wake people up. We're just trying to teach people. We want to empower you, you know, through knowledge and wisdom. And if you take the time to practice and you take the time to study, you can be powerful too, because we're really all gods and goddesses ourselves. We just have to reawaken those abilities that we all have.
Yeah, and knock the fear out of us and stop praying to something that, for one, I mean, one thing, we can't, of course, we cannot prove that our pagan gods exist. I mean, sure, within us, because we have experiences. Just like Jesus, they cannot prove that he freaking existed. And why in the heck would they push that religion onto people if they don't have any proof that he actually existed? So therefore, he's not better than any of the pagan deities, right?
Exactly.
So,
But
the pagans, the pagan deities are there to help us out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the Bible wasn't even written until like 100 to 300 years after the supposed death of Jesus, which actually Jesus was never crucified on the cross. It was his twin brother Judah, and the only difference between the two, for those that really knew them, was that Jesus had blue eyes and Judah had brown eyes. And the Jews, of course, hid the fact that he had a twin brother when he was born. And also, after the Romans kind of screwed up and crucified the wrong guy while he was still hanging on the cross, and they realized it, the Roman emperor realized that if he said a word, he would be done. So that got all hushed up by the Romans, too.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. I was going to say, if you could finish your story with the vampire.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
you're talking about, like, the head.
Yeah. And after that, a nurse down the hallway came running. She says, "What's the matter, William?" And I told her exactly what happened, and I pointed to the two vampires that were standing in that doorway. By the way, these two vampires, I noticed, didn't have any shoes on. There were no name tags like you were, if you were working at the hospital as a nurse, an aide, something else. There was no name tag, and both of them just were wearing a white robe, which is mighty odd for somebody that's supposed to be working at the hospital, right? So the one vampire hollered out, draining me, and she said she was sorry, and I said okay, and then I wasn't mad. I said okay. I said I'll accept the apology, and then I was wheeled back down the hallway and put back to ICU. Well, the next day I was moved out of ICU right after my surgery, because my surgery is the very next day, and then I was moved out of ICU and into another room near the back of the hallway, and the back of the hospital, not the hallway. And there is an old balcony back there that is off of the second story, and there's a woman that was ahead of the nurses in that department, and she was an older woman, wore glasses, and she had hired six guys that were kind of fat and chubby to do reenactments, and it was weird because she reenacted what happened to the neighbor lady that lived near the hospital that used to be a nurse there. Matter of fact, she took care of me at her house before there were any beds available at the hospital, so I stayed at her house for 2 days, and this woman was wonderful because she didn't have to take me in, but she took me in out of the goodness of her heart and took care of me because I was in bad shape, and until the hospital got a bed open, and then I was transferred over to the hospital. But so I was pretty animately angry for them firing her. They were mocking her in some sort of a weird silent movie type enactment, including this weird woman that was the head of the nursing. And she was running back and forth on the floor like it was a stage back there, practically. They had it set up kind of like a stage, looking out across the grass in the back and stuff. And these guys that she hired would reenact the whole situation that happened with that poor nurse that got fired. I still don't know what they fired her about. It was sad. But especially since she did a great job of taking care of me, I felt very I was very grateful to her. I really was.
Right.
And she was a super nice lady. And then right after that, I was being yelled at and called a Satanist. I said, "I'm not a Satanist. That's not my religion." I said, "Satanism is a religion, and I'm not a Satanist." But I kept getting accused by this woman. Turns out later that I find out she's the queen vampire. She was the queen vampire of the whole thing. Those two little vampires that were in that room draining people's blood, those were her fledgling vampires, and that is why she was pissed off with me and started calling me a Satanist, because she figured out that I had power when I was able to call demons to my aid to protect me, and it thwarted off her two little vampires. See, the thing of it is, I didn't know whether that vampire was just trying to get a little bit of blood to survive or whether she was going to drain me dry. That was the problem. Had she come to me and said, "Hey, do you mind donating a little blood? I'm a vampire, and I just need a little bit of sustenance to survive," I probably would have said yes. But she didn't ask. She was just flat out stealing my blood. So I said, "Nope, this doesn't work." So the very next day, I was back in another room, in ICU again. They wanted to check me out before sending me to a final room to go home a couple days later. And that vampire came in the room dressed in a full uniform this time with shoes on, and she came in and she said my name was so-and-so. I think she said her name was Chris or something like Christina, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I just wanted to come by and apologize again. And I said, okay, you know, I sincerely accepted the apology. I don't hate vampires, but I also don't like them stealing my blood, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, without permission.
yeah, without permission, that's stealing. And I told her that, and I said, do you mind if I hold your hand for a minute? And she said, yeah, go ahead. I grabbed her by the hand. I did that because I wanted to check to see whether she had warm blood running through her veins or whether she was a real vampire, a wannabe or a real vampire. And when I grabbed her hand, it was as ice cold as taking a tray of ice cubes out of the freezer. It was literally that cold.
Oh.
And I knew that was the confirmation
wow.
I needed, that she wasn't just a wannabe with delusional dreams of wanting to be a vampire, which really, when people want to be that, they really have no idea what they're asking for. They really don't. It's not
wow.
glorious like people think. Not at all. It's a horrible, you have to die first, and then you come back alive. And it's not a good existence at all. I've spoken to many vampires in the past, real ones, and they've told me a lot about how it really is. It's not a good thing.
And they glamorize it on Hollywood.
it's not glamorous,
you know,
like Hollywood.
They try to glamorize that.
Now, they do live longer, and they are strength. They do have the strength of 100 men. They're strong as fuck. They can run fast and all of that. But what you have to sacrifice to gain those kind of abilities is ridiculous. I've run into other things, too, in the past, at that hospital and other places that I've ran around, including real werewolves, a whole bunch of strange things that I've had happen, not just at that hospital, but in life in general, because when you're magical, all of your senses begin to open up, all of your psychic abilities begin to open up, and as they open up, you notice things that regular people will walk right past and not even notice, like that fairy sitting
yeah.
on that road, you know, or...
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you remember the fairy, the Raven
yeah.
fairy.
yeah, exactly. And so
in England. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so,
yep.
matter of fact, there's even a place in England that has an old castle there that is now turned into a park in the back. And there's a fenced-in area around a swamp there that says don't enter. And if you go in there, you get immediately chased by dwarves that drive little red cars with three wheels. It has two wheels in the front.
Holy
I mean, in the
shit.
One wheel in the front. They're triangular shaped. I kid you not, and they're physically solid. And the fairies fly out of the tops of the trees.
Oh my gosh, that's
I'll have to
crazy.
Find
I know.
Yeah, I'll have to find the video.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
you,
the more that people can open up their psychic abilities and their magical abilities, they're going to start sensing a lot of things that we really, the normal person cannot. You'll start
right,
feeling
yeah.
energy. You'll start connecting with the demons that you communicate with. I've had so many freaking stories too to share in the past. So many things happening, miracles happening. It's just been wild. But vampires, I mean, I know that, yeah, there's a lot of wannabe vampires. And I remember other people telling me, you know, don't walk around, don't walk around at this time. It's around like, you know, late March, April-ish around this time, because that's when the vampires come out.
Yep. Yep,
and
that's
I think
true.
Due to the blood sacrifice. But look what's going on in Hollywood. That would make
oh,
perfect
yeah.
sense. They're all freaking vampires.
yeah, one
kids.
Time or another. Yep. They're either an energy
mm-hmm.
drinker or they're bloodsucker, or some of them are both.
Yeah, and they run the country.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them
run
the fucking country, and people don't even know it, but they use the whole Ten Commandments and Jesus just to hide behind that mask. And the churches are the worst. They're the ones that are trafficking children. Many
yeah,
of these Christian churches, you know, they're working with the government and shit.
Yeah, well, you
so.
Know, the religion is a control system. Those four dominant religions, Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, and Judaism are all control systems to help control you. The government uses it to control you, whether you realize
right.
it or not. It, they really do. They use them, they manipulate them, and they manipulate the leaders by threatening them or bribing them or something else to help control you. And America wasn't
exactly.
based on control. It wasn't based on control. It was based on freedom and liberty, not control, and not on tons and tons of laws. We have so many laws in this country that they actually conflict with each other. The law is the opposite of freedom, especially when you get
yeah,
that many laws.
Exactly.
I mean, you have some basic stuff. You have to have some basic stuff, but even beyond that, it gets to be ridiculous, and it becomes a tyrannical mess after, well, kind of like it is now. So
definitely.
We have to.
So what would you tell the listeners? What would you tell the listeners about the vampires and what they need to be prepared for? I mean, are they starting to come out even more?
I believe that
to
they
make
are
themselves
spreading
known
across the country, just like the werewolves and the dogmen are. Only those are rampant right now. They're out of control right now as far as the numbers and everything. We're not sure why that's happening yet, but we're working and trying to discover, me and another magician, which Joanna here also knows, me and that other person is working together to find out the reason why, because the forests and the woods are getting very dangerous. People are being eaten alive, especially in places like the Land Between the Lakes. It's located in Kentucky, and a small section of it even goes down into Tennessee. People are being eaten alive in those parks, and they don't even, the sad thing is they don't even know that there's anything in there until they get in there and get their tent set up or their camp set up, and most of them never make it out alive. Then the government comes along, the local government comes along and cleans up the mess and gets rid of the vehicles and everything else to make it all look nice and neat, because they're on both sides, the opposite sides of the lakes. There's huge tourist attractions that draw billions of dollars into that area. And so if people find out that there's dogmen running around, and a dogman, by the way, looks like a werewolf. It looks just like a werewolf. Only difference is werewolves can shapeshift back into human, whereas dogmen cannot. Dogmen are just permanently in the werewolf shape. Werewolves have powers, magical powers like invisibility and being able to shift into the fourth dimension to escape, or escape detection or being hunted, things like that, whereas dogmen really don't have any of that, but they do run in packs, and they are around 8 feet tall and very strong and powerful and can easily kill a dozen humans with no problem.
Wow, how long has this been going on over there in Kentucky?
I don't know. I just discovered it this year, and I was like, whoa. I mean, I'd seen werewolves here in Ohio, but I've never heard of dogmen until this year. And then I started exploring it. There's several channels where there's a couple of crazy people that actually go out hunting for evidence of them and hunting for the remains of people and their gear and stuff. Yeah. I guess there was a big massacre back in 1982 in one of the campgrounds that sits between the land, between the lake. And a whole bunch of people were murdered there by the dogmen. That's what began it all. And, the name of the channel that is the main one is called Hellbent Holler. Hellbent Holler is the name of the channel. And two people, one man, one woman, they go out and they actually hunt for the evidence and everything else, evidence of people being murdered. They've found tents. They've found gear that's been chewed up. Including backpacks chewed apart and stuff, tents ripped open, just horrific things.
Yeah.
And I had to tell them, I had to say, hey, guys, I said on the channel, I said, you know, you guys are going out there and you don't have any weapons. If these things come at you, I said, they're very hard to kill. You should be carrying 10 millimeter or larger to have a chance of killing these things. I said 10 millimeter will kill a grizzly bear, so you have a chance at least with that. Either 10 millimeter, 44 mag, or get a big rifle with a big caliber, to take them down. I said, because they're not going to be easy to kill, and if they catch you, you know, there's no way to run away from them. They run at 35 miles an hour. So you're not going to be able to outrun these things. They run at the same speed as a bear does. So it's a very scary, serious deal. But these people are brave. Yeah, they're very free. It's very freaky, but, you know, I enjoy learning about them because, like I said, I know a lot about werewolves, but not a whole lot about dogmen yet. So,
wow, and so you said there's a bunch of werewolves in Ohio, too?
Oh, yeah, Ohio's a hot spot for werewolves and Bigfoot. We're number 8 on the list of most sightings for Bigfoot, and I'm not sure what the number is for werewolves, but we have a lot of them here. In my area alone, about 20 miles south of here, there's a whole bunch of them. There's quite a few different patches of them. Oh, and by the way, that hospital, Mercy Medical Center, which is owned by Cleveland Clinic, used to have werewolves working on the 10th floor until Cleveland Clinic bought it and remodeled the 10th floor. And I go up there every now and then because I can read energies really well, and their energies are no longer there. So did the hospital catch them and find a way to exterminate them? Did they have to call in the government? I don't know. Or did the werewolves just kind of leave the hospital, or did they go somewhere else in the hospital? That's what I don't know.
But, that is some freaky stuff.
It's the freakiest hospital you'd ever never want to go. Right.
And you said it was ran by nuns, right?
It used to be. The nuns sold it to Cleveland Clinic. So the nuns will come along once in a great while. They still have the crosses on the wall. They still do the daily prayer thing over the intercom. But they don't own it anymore. It's owned by Cleveland Clinic, which has been known to be pro-globalist, pro-communist, you know. So,
yeah, my gosh. First thing is to worry about the government and shit, and now this.
Yeah, that hospital was always screwed up ever since I could remember. And I've been going there for many, many years. And after the vampire thing, I said, that's it. I'm going to the other hospital for a while until Cleveland Clinic gets that place straightened around, because it's ridiculous. It's getting to the point where you cannot close your eyes at night when you're in the hospital, because you better sleep with one eye open, I'm telling you, because you might not wake up if you do not. Literally. Of course, if you have demons or dragons or fae or something, you can close both eyes and be rest assured nothing's going to get you. And if they do, believe me, your spirit will retaliate with ruthless endeavor. The vampires will stand no chance, neither would the werewolves.
Yeah, that is, my gosh, I never met a vampire ever, like a real one ever, or a werewolf. So
well,
I know you've
had
these experiences.
Someday. Come down here someday. I'll take you in the hospital. I know right where that room is, where they are. We'll go down and meet them. For real.
We should give it a try.
Make sure you ask to shake their hands
and
you can feel that they're as cold as a brick, as cold as an ice, yeah.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh, that is so scary, man. So, like, did you say anything to the hospital about this?
I did. I called Cleveland Clinic directly. I went over the head of Mercy because I suspected that they were all involved in it, or a lot of them were at least at the top of the rung. So I called Cleveland Clinic, and I couldn't really bring out the vampire part because I figured they wouldn't believe me anyway. Because it's a pretty far-out story, even though it was real and it actually happened. So I just left it at either this head lady that runs the ICU, the nursing department, in the back of the hospital on the first floor, because that's where this was at. And I said I didn't know that Cleveland Clinic policy was to discriminate against people's religion based on their religious beliefs. And the guy says, no, definitely, sir. I assure you that we do not support such policies. He said, I'll tell you. He said, do you know who you saw? And I said, well, I don't know her name. I gave him the complete description of Mrs. Queen Vampire and what floor she was on, which IC unit she ran, and they looked her up and found her. They looked at my case and found out who she was, and they sent a couple of people down there, and she got her ass either chewed out or fired. I don't know which yet, so I have to go back there just to find out if Queen Vampire is still running around there, because if she is, I'm going to confront her.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm definitely going to challenge her.
Yeah, I would take a camera or maybe it's like a voice recorder or something just to get something on record.
Absolutely. Me and Zepp are going to go down, and she's going to bring her cell phone so we can get it all on film. Right.
Good.
We've already planned on a trip
to
her alone.
Yeah,
investigate that. Because we want to get it all on film and put it out for people to see. We're even going to go down and visit the little vampires that try to find the two that were in their room that day and talk to them and ask them if they can show us their teeth and shit and maybe a demonstration of their strength or something to prove that they're real vampires, and we'll have to figure out what we're going to have them do.
But what about the people that they're draining, the blood that they're draining? They're killing people.
I was told by a nurse that's worked there for a while that they're baby murderers, that they will drain the life force out of babies. I said that's beyond terrible.
Poor
they have
baby.
Drained the blood out of babies and murdered them. Yeah.
Do you think that these are the same, like the same group that goes to, that goes to Bohemian Grove, that have been, a part of the whole government thing, the Hollywood shit.
I didn't sense it was the same group. There's a lot of different clans of vampires around the world, in fact. This was just a clan of vampires that found it convenient to be at the hospital where there was lots of blood being donated and plasma being donated. And, of course, the occasional illegal blood draw where they're actually drinking your blood instead of putting it into the color-coded tubes to send to the lab.
Gosh,
yeah.
I don't know how I would feel. I would freak out. I would totally fucking freak out. I wouldn't even know.
I would do the same thing.
I'd conjure up Azazel.
Yep, but I freaked out for a moment, and then I said, I got to pull myself together here. I said, I can beat these motherfuckers. I said, yep, that's what I said. And I called Azazel, and I started chanting, Azra, Azra, Azazel. I knew he would come. And he sent four demons. He told me, he shouted down at me, and he even told me, he said, don't worry, you will be protected. And then when I saw two of the four demons physically manifest, that was pretty fucking cool, too, because as I do, being in the craft a long time like we both have, that is rare.
Yeah,
and they
manifested,
showed their teeth to those two fledgling vampires, and boy, did they get scared. Yep.
Yeah, that is pretty intense. I'm glad they were there to protect you. You could have been drained,
Well,
that would have been it with you.
I could have called the dragons or the fairies or something else that I have guardians with. It would have got the job done as well, but I think the demons were much more suited to that than the dragons or the fairies.
Yeah.
I called the demons.
Wow.
And,
so it's like Hollywood coming to life over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that must be a great paranormal place, a great paranormal spot. You definitely got to go see Ohio. I've never been to Ohio before, ever, so that would be a pretty interesting place.
Ohio is a very haunted state. We have a lot of haunted places, like the Mansfield used to be Insane Asylum, which is now closed. I mean, they let all the people go a long time ago, but it's haunted in there, and they do tours in there of the haunted asylum over in Mansfield, Ohio. There's tons of hauntings here in Ohio. Matter of fact, there's dozens of them right here in the city I live in, Canton here. So,
Wow. That is amazing. But, yeah, this is why we need to protect ourselves. This is why we need to move away from these righteousness religions, number one, because these churches, their blood suck. I mean, their energy is vampires. That's what they are.
Yeah, they are.
They suck your energy. And people don't even know that when they go there, you know?
Yep, and you know how, notice how when you go in and you sit for a sermon, they will make you repeat things over and over and over again. That's a form of basic brainwashing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a mantra.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
What it is.
Oh, it's just missing the flashing light, you know? It's just missing the flashing light in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially with the whole Easter thing, I was watching a bunch of people just, you know, posting a bunch of Jesus stuff and him on the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, fine, Jesus is fine, but always putting him on the cross and like, oh, he died for you. And I'm like, you know what, that's what I don't like. First, they never proved that he actually existed. And then they want to push that on you to make you feel like shit, that he actually died for you, like he ever knew you in the first place. That is complete
right, yeah.
programming, and it all goes all the way back to Zoroastrianism, way back, one of the oldest religions in the world, and then Melchizedek order and the Zadokites and all of that crap. I mean,
sure,
this has been going on for thousands of freaking years, but yet it's like, get these peasants stupefied so we can go and drink people's blood. Basically, we're being ran by these creatures.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the craziest part, a lot of these vampire clans that exist, not the wannabes, but the actuals, believe that Jesus was a vampire. Did you know that?
No.
I have no idea. Jesus supposedly had all these abilities and all of that, and the fact that he died and rose again in 3 days kind of thing, the vampires believe that he was a vampire. That's the reason why he could do that. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. He was not a vampire. He was actually an Anunnaki. He was a disembodied Anunnaki right along with his brother. They were the children of Enlil, which Enlil was the younger son of the supreme Anunnaki known as Anu, the older brother being Enki. Well, Enlil had two sons of his own, Ninlil and Sin. And Sin is spelled S-I-N. And guess which one was Jesus? Sin. So Sin is not an action, folks. Sin is the name of an Anunnaki god who was sent to Earth through the womb of Mary and his twin brother Ninlil, which then was renamed, you know, Judah and not Judas, but Judah and Jesus, which was Sin. So isn't that something?
Wow. Yeah.
And then when
Jesus.
When Jesus found out the Romans were looking for him to crucify him, he begged his brother Judah to take his place on the cross, and his brother agreed, while Jesus ran off to Mount Carmel to live with the grandson of Matthew, whose name was Matthias, and he lived until the ripe old age of 109. And when he died, Matthias noticed that Jesus' spirit went into a crow and flew toward the sun until it disappeared. And that was it.
Whoa. Very interesting.
Yeah, so that's the true story of Jesus. And the government tried to suppress that for a long, long time, but a particular author finally got the story out and was able to tell it in all of its truth. And so you don't have to worry about remission of sins, folks, because Jesus wasn't crucified anyway. And the Yahweh or Jehovah is really not who he claims to be. He's really the Anunnaki god Enlil, younger brother of Enki and son of Anu, which are aliens originally from the Sirius star system, which now resides on the 10th planet or planet X, as most people know it as, in our solar system, the one that has the huge elliptical orbit. It also has a small star, a dwarf star, that it follows, that provides it light and heat. It has life on the planet, and it has a massive trail of giant stones, everything from small to huge, trailing it. So every time it comes past the Earth, every so many thousands of years, it does unholy destruction on Earth, plus the fact that it's way bigger than our moon and way bigger than the Earth. So imagine the effect on the tides it's going to have when it comes by once again at some point in the future here. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, I was hearing that, and then Enki would be considered Lucifer.
Yes, yeah. He got the best because his younger brother took the credit for everything good that Enki did, which including creating us under the direct orders of Anu, because humans were created as a slave race to mine gold, and the planet that they found that had the most gold was Earth. And so we were originally created as a slave race, and it's all been a big lie until you go back to people like Zachariah Sitchin and others that were able to interpret ancient Sumerian scroll cylinder seals and things to decipher and decode the language. Not that the Jews hadn't already done it before, but they found out the truth, you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking that from what I learned as well, Enki, he's supposed to be still here because he was made exile from Nibiru because of what he'd done, because it was Enki that actually put the power into us, the DNA for us, and that went against what Enlil was saying. And obviously they had him brought up in front of the council. And then according to that, what happened was they made him exile because of his actions instead of killing him, because obviously he's one of the higher hierarchy of them. And obviously he's
Lucifer.
Got so much knowledge, especially with all this kind of stuff. So that's why they couldn't kill him, because obviously Enki is actually the one that was supposed to have been Thoth.
Or Lucifer.
Yes, and they turned him.
He kicked out of heaven, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's one of the fallen.
They vilified him.
And.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, what was that?
All right.
Oh,
the thing with all the fallen angels, they're the ones that are supposed to be still here, right? And guess who they are? They are actually all the movie stars, because they love being worshipped, don't they? So, we love you and all this kind of shit because you're a movie star, I love your movies and blah, blah, blah. They're actually supposed to be the fallen ones. And they're the ones that are drinking all the blood and all this sick shit on specific islands and all these other places. So they have all this secret knowledge because they're in the club, so to speak. So, all the older ones, they're part of the fallen.
Yeah.
I know. What do you think of that?
Oh, he's absolutely correct on
that.
You're absolutely correct on that. And you know, the only thing with Enki that was kind of sad was, like I said, his younger brother took all the credit for the good things that Enki did, and then all the bad things that Enlil did, he blamed it on his older brother Enki, when Enki was actually the good guy originally.
Yeah, because he's the one that set us all free. He gave us a bit of a nudge with our DNA to get things going so we can actually start to awaken through time. It's like a pathway to what he put inside us. So we have to walk that path and find out what's what, and then put two and two together, and then bing, it changes our DNA into something more amazing, because it basically enhances who we are.
Yep, for sure. He wants to awaken us and reconnect our disconnected DNA strands and everything, and empower us.
Yeah, because originally they wanted us as slaves just to mine the gold for their atmosphere, but that's all Enlil was all for, and it was him who brought his own brother up into the council for what had happened.
Yep, there was
and I think that's where Azazel came in, you know, Belial, all the other demons, they were there for the people.
It says that Lucifer was the first to fall from the heavens, his ship crashed first. And then down came Azazel second, and then Belial, and then all the rest of them after that.
Yeah, I think they took about a third of followers, and then ended up down here.
Yep, the war, the great war that was fought because Sihanou and his younger brother Enlil, wanted to kill the humans after they were done mining their gold, and Enki stepped in and said, "No, I love my creation, you will not kill them." That's what started it all.
Yeah.
That's what started the war right there, and that's why they disowned Enki, and he lost his position because he was heir to the throne, and then that was taken away from him because he defied his father because he did not want to murder us. He said, "Look, the humans did their job. They did what we told them to do. They should get their freedom and this planet."
Yeah, because he said that he saw potential.
Yeah, and of course,
a lot of potential.
Brother was worried that we would evolve enough where we might revolt, you know.
That's probably why I don't think they're going to be coming back, because the pyramids were supposed to be the, obviously we know that they're resonators, but at the same time when they're activated, it's to shine a beam into the sky to tell their ships to come down, that that the ghoul's ready for shipping off.
Yeah.
But if there's no capstone on the main one, that means it's not going to work, so they're not going to come back.
Yeah,
last time when it all happened, I mean, all this is in the Terra Papers, the T-E-R-R-A Terra Papers, the battle about the two brothers, and that's Enki and Enlil, and what happened.
Yeah.
And it's still going on to this day. I mean, if they're not coming down for the gold now because there's only so much left,
right,
the elite have... They got a pile of mountain of gold there still, so it's not really for us. We're just getting the scrimmings and scrapings of it all and turn it into something valuable, which obviously can be used as more scientific things. I mean, just look at your technology, your microchips and stuff like that. You've got gold in them. You've got gold-plated cables that conduct better energy.
Yeah,
and
gold
stuff
and
like
silver
that,
and crystals and all kinds of stuff in the electronics,
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're not going to come back, then what's going to happen? I mean, are
they
come back to help us out or what?
Or is it just another
attack? There are ways they could come back. If they come back during the time when Nibiru goes past Earth, they could get here then. But that would be our most dangerous time of them possibly coming down. But it's questionable as whether they will or not. But some of them have bases here on Earth still, and from what I understand, there are seven good alien races, other alien races, not Anunnaki, but seven other good alien races that are on this planet that are benevolent and that are trying to protect us from the four bad alien races which have bases here.
Yeah, they're the four that are fighting over control.
Yep, they're fighting over control. A lot of them live either under the ocean, in the ocean, or on deep under the earth.
Yeah. And there's the biggest one is supposed to be, I forgot the name of the Black Rock Mountain. That's actually hidden from us, just like Antarctica. We're going to be talking about the North Pole. And that looked like the center of Atlantis. It says, Atlantis sunk, or we lost Atlantis. It's not. It's hidden. Yes, it's hidden. It's hidden from us. We're not allowed to go there. It's not even on Google Maps on the global map or nothing. It's been airbrushed out where you have four sections of where the four rivers meet, going around the Black Rock, which is the tallest mountain in the world, even bigger than Mount Everest and all these others. It's the biggest. It goes way the hell up there, black, and that's what gives off the magnetic energies because it's so powerful, and it has like a vortex wrapping around it all the time. So that is true, that bit, but it is hidden from us, and I bet you there's bases and all that kind of stuff up there as well.
Oh, I bet so too. Just like Mount Shasta out there in Northern California. I wonder if Durana's ever been there. Have you ever been there, Durana?
Where?
Shasta.
Mount Shasta. I've driven through there. Yeah, Yeah, we've been through that. I did. I went to a New Age store there. It was beautiful.
What kind of experiences did you have there? Anything?
Well, the weird thing is I went there and I went and got some things. It was a really big bookstore from what I remembered. It was beautiful. It had jewelry, had books, everything. It was a beautiful place. And not too long ago, this was years ago, but I never had really an experience there. It was just absolutely a beautiful place. Like, I drove there, and it was early morning, 6 in the morning when the sun just came up, because I was driving all the way from San Diego to Seattle, Washington, and it was absolutely gorgeous. That's what I remembered. But I had a dream not too long ago, like about a couple weeks ago, that Darren and I were at that same type of bookstore, and what appeared was a dragon statue. And two books popped up, and one was for Azazel and Paimon. I never worked with Paimon before, but it was crazy. Yeah. I was like, what? And I woke up like, what the hell?
Right, yeah. I imagine the energy there was pretty amazing, I would imagine.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It was really beautiful. It was kind of like we were in a rush because we're traveling and all that stuff, going back and forth. And but as far as, like, having my moment there and staying there overnight, and no, I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah. There's supposedly an alien base in the base of the mountain and also one closer to the top of the mountain that people
mm-hmm.
have encountered. Mm-hmm.
I know there's Eseti, you know, Eseti.
Mm-hmm.
The Eseti Ranch. And they see them all the time. They say power up, and they show themselves a bunch of spaceships.
Ah. Wow,
yeah,
that's interesting.
I mean, it's the Eseti Ranch. I forgot what the guy, James, that's his name, that runs the ranch and everything. Pretty interesting. He knew me. He knew me too. I knew him. But over just online and everything, but he was really well known about that, bringing people over, and people would camp all night and look at a lot of alien spaceships. I really miss being in those areas, you know, being there. And then on the way to Nevada, I saw some freaking alien, I mean, big time spaceships. I saw like one that looked like a Syrian ship on the way to San Francisco. And Jeremy and I saw another spaceship. It was like right in the middle of the air at night, and then three red lights would just pop up, and then it would turn off, and it kept on doing that. And I go, let's go check it out. Let's go. And he's like, oh, hell no. He was freaking out. It
right.
was so obvious. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I mean, they could all be either alien ships, or they could be technology from our own government too.
Yeah, more than
right.
that.
Well, our government certainly is hard at work trying to do that shit.
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing this other... What is it, hon?
Well, they're probably going to be scaring everybody with this fake alien invasion shit. And they've got all these black ops crafts out there which are reverse engineered and all that kind of stuff. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
it'll be theirs more than likely when it comes to the fake alien shit. Because
mm-hmm.
they'll be like shooting down and using the EW weapons, you know, and firing lasers, because we have that technology now. I mean, we've had that technology for 50 years, you know,
probably even
more. I mean, as far as I know, NASA is 300 years ahead of us. They're keeping everything from us. Everything you see on TV, like see on Star Trek, it exists. It all exists,
yeah.
Even the food replicators, that technology exists. It just,
oh, yeah. They've got bases on
But they won't feed
Mars.
The homeless.
They have bases on
yeah.
Mars that they've had there for more than 20 years for the rich and the powerful. But
yeah.
you and I can't go there.
No, they're probably up there every freaking weekend, man.
Right. They've got
yeah,
more
let's go play golf on Mars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I was saying it's crazy how they've got all that shit that they always hide. It's just like they have cures for
yeah.
diseases as forever, and they will not release it to the general public, to the general hospitals, to save people's lives, because that's how greedy and how corrupt they really are. They want to save it all for themselves.
Yep, and when you think about it, there's actually only just one disease, and that's mucus.
Yes,
because when you think about it, any illness, if it's got bronchial, what why is it bronchial? Because you've got mucus on your lungs or something
mm-hmm.
else, and it's, you know, it's always down to mucus. And
yeah.
that's what we need to eradicate from our bodies, as well as all these little parasites. It's because of what we're
yeah.
ingesting. They say, no, it's food, but we're not supposed to be eating certain things.
Correct,
it's just like
yeah.
you wouldn't give your cat chocolate because you know it'll either make it sick or it'll kill it. Why do
yeah,
it to
exactly.
us?
Well,
so,
you know, they
you
put
know,
all kinds of stuff in the food deliberately to try to kill you here in America. All the other
yeah.
countries don't do that. It's only this screwed-up country that tries to poison its own population, which is insane.
Oh, and England, too. I guess they're starting something, right, hon?
They do all that shit in England as well. The same stuff. They've even started with all this thumbprint ID stuff, and just to get into a store, you got to have like
mm-hmm.
some kind of chip. Not all of them, but they've tried starting it with this ID to get into the store to pay for your things, where it's like cashless. But
yep.
you need a good credit score or something, or you need your ID thing to get in. You know, so if you can't get in, you can't get no food.
Yeah, social score is what they call it. And if you don't have sufficient social score, you can't get on a plane or ride a bus or buy a horse
yeah.
or whatever, you know. Go to the shopping store.
If they see you on social media talking bad and all this stuff, and then they, right away they throw some strikes at you, you
yeah.
know. Just like what they're doing with
Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, what they've done with...
It's going to happen. Civil war is coming. This
well,
is
look,
what they
they're
going
to ban TikTok.
Yeah, they don't like the fact that people are making money on TikTok and not giving them any of it. That's why.
Yeah.
People are
that's
like making money on
YouTube.
Paying through your taxes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened with YouTube. We were making like $7,000 a month. Just from content we were putting up on YouTube, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we're paying you too much, we can't allow that, so we're going to have to fuck you up.
Yeah, demonetize
yeah.
the videos and all this stuff. I mean, but this is just the beginning, though, okay? With YouTube,
oh, yeah.
it's the beginning. With TikTok, all of that. That is for us to get prepared and ready. And with Facebook, same thing. These platforms are there. They're CIA platforms. To single out who is talking about what, and knowing who it is and connecting the dots, this is the beginning, and it's up to us to be prepared and ready. You see what I mean?
And it's also it's teaching the new AI system about humans, how we interact
right, yeah.
and how we go about our days. So that's where AI is getting all their ideas from. It's because of our
yes.
interaction on these platforms.
Yes, until the big EMP comes, and then I'm going to laugh. Yes, it all
yeah.
comes crumbling down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, some people are going to be unhappy. The younger generation is going to lose it, I tell you. It's sad to say, but they're
yeah,
going to lose
exactly.
it, especially gamers, they're going to lose it. They're not going to know what to do for the first time in their life.
Exactly. I mean, when we were kids, we were out all day on our bikes. We loved it. We didn't
yep.
need no electronics.
Yep.
We didn't have electronics. We were lucky
yep.
to have a Casio watch back then.
Either out on your bikes or you were out playing games outside, or you were hiking
yeah.
or camping or fishing or something. There was always something to do. You had, and when there wasn't
yep.
anything to do, you invented something to do, you know. You used your imagination,
yeah.
your, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chasing lizards with sticks and shit, you know?
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Had imaginary friends, too,
yeah.
you know, and stuff like that, you know, but when we were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, now, I mean, we're seeing all this stuff happening and what they're trying to do. And that's why, I mean, you know, Facebook, all these social media platforms, you just know exactly. Like, they made
yep.
fun of it, saying, oh, yeah, they're CIA and la ha ha ha, like a joke, making it a joke, and it really is. So it's like,
yeah.
that's why I say for people out there that are into, you know, that are making money online instead of relying on these platforms like TikTok and YouTube and Facebook, create a blog. Just start blogging. When you blog, your information is out there and people can see you. And as long as you're consistent blogging, you have your own blog, your own page. You could start out, it's called WordPress.com or WordPress.org, and it's free. And you just start blogging about just whatever, and your property, intellectual property, that you can take down anytime that you want. And once you keep blogging, and then if you do a YouTube video, you put that YouTube on your blog. If you do a TikTok video, you put your TikTok on that blog. And then you post the blog. You post the post on the blog on Facebook and all these other platforms. Oh, hey, I just blogged, or I vlogged, or whatever. And that gives you the power, because all these other platforms, that's what they did. I mean, I relied on YouTube for many, many years, making $8,000 a month just on my content. Yeah. And then all they had to do was take it down. And then here we are, like, fucking all of our money going down to like $1,000. It was horrible. I mean, it was just that fast. And the same thing happened with TikTok. And then everything will, but I knew this was going to happen. So I started building up my Bitcoin stash where I can live on it, off of it, and I can trade off of it. And so that's what we've been doing. And then luckily my husband, he's now working with a partner that they have a call center, and from the people in the Philippines, and they're helping people that do solar and whatever, but that makes a lot of money. So I'm like, thankfully that happened in perfect timing when everything just started to go downhill again. And I'm thinking, well, shit, if I would have blogged a year ago, really like was consistent, like one blog a week, at least one blog a week, instead of me one blog 1 week, one blog 3 weeks later, you know, that's not consistent, because Google is not going to help put your information out there. If they see that you're doing it once a week, you're fine. They'll put your information out there. So that's the thing, is really appeasing Google, because TikTok is appeasing Google. YouTube is appeasing Google, all this stuff. And you know what? You have more power because they need you. They need you to put freaking videos up there. You know, they're the freaking parasites. They're sucking the life out of us. So we have to take our power back and do our own shit, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All about.
Here in America, they're talking, these big companies are all talking about, oh, well, we're going to do away with the employees and replacing everybody with robots. And they're bragging about it. And I said, you know what? They've got one big mistake they made. You know what that is? And people were like, no, what? And I said, who's going to have any money to buy their shit then? I said, they're going to put themselves out of business inadvertently, because only the 1%, the 1% of the population is rich are the only ones that are going to be able to buy their junk. And there's not enough of them to keep all these companies in business. It's just not going to happen. And they're going to put themselves right on out of business. And I said, on the day they do that, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to have a party, actually, because I'm going to say, I told you, and I told you, dumbasses, that, yep, they didn't listen. They thought they were smarter than the people, and that's not true. The people are actually way smarter than they are. So...
We manifest. That's the thing. They need our emotions to manifest the reality for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, too. They'll manipulate people's emotions to get them to visualize what they want to manifest, and that ends up helping them manifest their stuff.
Exactly. They cannot be without us. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. So if we go down, they go down as well. So I think they're just putting a lot of scare tactics on the people.
Even though they say they hate us and they want to exterminate us, we're the reason that they're rich in the first place. Of course, they stole a lot from us. You know, it wasn't exactly a fair exchange, if you know what I mean. But, you know, it's just we the people. We the people have to stand up together. We have to be united regardless of religion, regardless of whatever. We have to stand up, if we want to keep our freedom, we have to literally fight for it to get it back, and I mean socially, politically, and if necessary, we have to go to civil war to take it back, because they may think they have all these powerful weapons and stuff, but But the bottom line is we outnumber them so badly, there is no possibility that they can win.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you something else that was interesting. A good friend of ours, we actually bought the sailboat from him years ago. He was talking about in Texas, I think it was Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. he went to a restaurant. And he's like, okay, I'm ready to pay the bill. Here you go. Here's the cash. Oh, sorry, we don't take cash anymore. And he goes, I'm sorry, you don't take the legal tender? Well, this is cash, and I just paid for my meal. And the thing is, he has a debit card and everything, credit card. But he's like, you know, I don't want to use it because I wanted to let them know, hey, you can't be doing that to people. Cash is right. legal tender, so I'm going to use that to pay for my food. So he's like, we all better stick up and stand up here. This is getting horrible. And it's not like they're like, oh, sorry, we can't take cash right now. The machine isn't working. I mean, I can understand that. And we have that here in Mexico from time to time. But this is an all-out saying, no, we no longer take cash. Full-on cashless society in Texas already.
So what he did was he just put his money on the table and left.
Huh?
Yeah, he just put his money on the table and left. You can't send the police out on me. I haven't stolen anything. I've paid for it legally, and it's just done. There's not a thing they could do about it.
Yep. You know, if people band together, just like Budweiser, when they decided to go all woke and everything, most of the people that had beer were right-wing patriots, and when they found out about it, they told the company, they said, hey, if you don't stop that, we're just not going to buy your beer anymore. And everybody got together, and they just decided they're not buying the beer, and they put Budweiser in miserable pain. Matter of fact, they almost went out of business because of it. We almost put them out of business. We sent them a very strong message, hey, keep it up, and no one's ever going to buy your beer yet. And
that's
there was
a
another
good idea.
A Starbucks got nailed for that, too, with the same kind of technique. And guess what? It works. It works every time. It makes them think twice about their actions, and then they straighten up. And sometimes
I have no idea what happened with the whole woke community. I just cannot understand. I mean, again, I'm not against transvestite people at all.
Right.
But this whole
right.
woke thing is an agenda created by, obviously, the people at the top. To get people confused of their bodies and their minds and then go after the children for crying out loud, which is really their target.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I couldn't believe that.
They want us adults for nothing more than work slaves. They said not too long ago that you should be working 2.5 jobs every day to support their I said, you're
working
out of your
for money that doesn't exist. Working
yeah,
for money
exactly.
that doesn't exist. It has no backup at all. Because I'll tell you, the Robert Kiyosaki, he even mentioned when his rich dad taught him, cash is trash. You don't work for money. You don't ever work for money. You take out a loan. You buy a business. You get other employees working for you. That's how you do it. That's how the wealthy do it. And those that are not 100% wealthy, you could still get a loan. You create a store or whatever, and you get people working under you and let them work for the money because money is not real. So when you are educated in realizing what the hell money truly is, and so instead you get a loan and you go buy assets that's going to make money for you. That way you never labor for that money.
Right,
you see what I mean?
Exactly.
So, And I didn't even know this years ago. I mean, I knew, money was bullshit because I learned about the secured creditor way for many years. You know, I found out about the dollar. It was an IOU note. Found out about the birth certificate bond, all that stuff, and how they took the gold and silver from the American people and enacted the HJR 192, the executive order. What's-his-face, Roosevelt did that and took all the gold and silver away from the American people back in the 1930s. In replacement for the monopoly money, and that monopoly money is foreign money. That foreign money comes from Puerto Rico. It's a foreign money. It's foreign notes. It has nothing to do with America. So when we start to realize and educate ourselves, see, I didn't really know until later on, excuse me, something in the back of my throat, but until I realized, but then when I worked, I was helping people do packages, and I realized, you know, I can hire someone to do the package for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I promote my work was just promoting, just being on video, talk, and promotion. That was it. But I was having fun. It was more of a hobby. And then have someone else do the labor. That's what you do. And I didn't even realize anything about Robert Kiyosaki until later on. And then I'm like, well, shit, I guess I'm pretty much almost there. And
I remember.
But yeah, working for the money is not the way to go.
I remember all that stuff you were teaching about fiat currency and stuff. Yeah. It was very, very interesting and very true.
Well, yeah, I mean, when child support came after me, I put a stop to it, and I never thought I could do it because I was ready and prepared. I said, you know, I'm getting my Mexican passport and getting the hell out of the States just in case nothing works. And it did. I put a stop to it because I let them know, hey, you know what? Money, the United States of America has been bankrupt using fake money, and you want me to keep paying on fake money? Well, here you go. You have to go fuck yourself. The rest of history. That was it. Because we have to realize that there's been a bankruptcy that happened way back in 1933 when they took our gold and silver away. What happened? What did the people have to pay with? They had nothing to pay their debt with because they entered the human beings into a national credit system right away where they can print the money, and then they took the money off the gold standard in 1971 with Nixon. And that was it. That's when they told the public, hey, guys, we're just printing free money here. So, and this is what Robert Kiyosaki said. He goes, why would you save money that is being printed every single day?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you save money if it's, you know, of course, I understand we got to save some money. But you really think about it. Why would you save some money that is being printed every freaking day? That's why you get credit. That's why you get loans. As long as you know you're going to pay it back, the credit goes up always. Use your credit card. You don't really use your debit card as much. You use your credit card because it's the credit that's going to go up, because the fiat money is going to go down. And look what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it here in Mexico. It's now 16 pesos to the dollar now. It used to be 20 pesos to the dollar like a year, 2 years ago. Now the dollar has gone to shit.
Yep.
So
pretty soon the Mexican money will be worth more than the U.S., I suspect.
It is. The Mexican peso is stronger than the U.S. dollar. It's actually stronger. And it's like, well, man, I think, you know, for my services, I'm just going to ask for pesos instead of dollars. Because it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Pesos is stronger than the dollar. So, we see it from here, from our end. We're seeing it here in Mexico because we're in Mexico. So we see that happening. So, you know, that's the way to protect yourself. Just build up your credit. You know, really do good with your credit. Don't fuck it up. I fucked it up years ago. I finally wiped it out clean, and I'm rebuilding my credit. My credit scores are really nice. They're shit hot right now. So I'm grateful because I built it.
Mine's sitting good now, too.
Yeah.
So
that's what Robert Kiyosaki says. Focus. Your credit is everything. You need to focus on your freaking credit. And a lot of these stupid groups, there's so many of these sovereign secure creditor groups, okay? And I was part of them, too, for the longest time because I was trying to find a remedy to put stop to child support. And a lot of it was bullshit. A lot of it like, oh, no, nothing ever worked to discharge your debt. And this is what I hear from people. They write me, I just want to discharge my car. I want to discharge my car. I go, well, why the fuck did you even buy your car if you knew you weren't going to pay for it? Why would you play into the system if you don't want to play into the system? You know what I mean? So it doesn't make any sense. Or whatever, a house. If you don't want to buy into that, then don't. But you could buy into it if you know how to play the game. So you play the game smart. You know, like you're saying, William, like you have a four-bedroom house, you're renting it out. Perfect. Money comes back into your pocket all the time. The money comes right back to you. It's not like you are out there working for the dollar for that money, you know?
Right, yeah,
it's
at least
education.
Not very often. I mean, I might have to repair something or something every now and then, but other than that, I'm not doing a whole lot.
Right, exactly. But people, what they do, they go get a loan and they go and work several jobs for that house. That's not the way to go. That's the wrong way to go. And immediately you get a condo, you get a house, villa, you turn that fucker into an Airbnb. You Airbnb that shit. You rent a house somewhere else. Let that thing pay you. Turn that into a money-making asset. So that's the education that we weren't getting in school. And only the rich know this. Like Warren Buffett, you know, check him out. Look at him. He lives in a modest house, $500,000 home, and yet he owns a shitload of hotels because he knows it makes money.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go buy a mansion for himself to sit there because it ain't making him any money. So that's the whole point, and the people need to be educated. So, okay, you don't want to pay the car loan. Why don't you use the car to go pick people up from the airport, and then they can pay you, and then they're paying for the car loan every month. I mean, you got to be smart. You got to think like a millionaire. So that's what the whole secure creditor sovereign thing, I just decided to move away from that shit. And I understand, yes, the child support thing, because for one, I never signed a contract with child support. I never agreed to the terms. It was it's false and fraudulent to begin with. And I was able to put a stop to my ex-husband's abuse and child support and get my freaking passport back. So that was it, end of story. I could have just been happy and not even teach anybody anymore about getting them the trust or nothing and be fine.
Right.
And I'm kind of at that point now because people don't understand the value of what a foreign grantor trust is. They don't even understand the value. All they want is free shit. And it's like you're supposed to protect your shit. You can get your free shit anytime. Just build your credit and go get your free credit. You have it.
Right.
We all have the power to do that. People don't know that. So, but anyway, William, since we have only 33 minutes left, talk about more about your magic and your experiences. And just go ahead with that. We want to hear more about your experiences, what have you accomplished in your magical world, what have you done for other people and everything.
Oh, Lord, that's a mountain of stuff. Right.
Well, one of the best ones you can remember.
You know, I've had so many, I don't know which one the best one is now, but I'll tell some good ones. First, I'll start, I guess, with more magical experience. I'm also an herbalist, certified in herbalism, and I've been helping people to get well from various things that ail them. Like I said, I also have energy healing things like tuning forks, healing with crystals, crystal gridding, biomats. I know all about biomats and how to use those to help people heal from pain and other things. Matter of fact, I have one here that I use all the time. It's a it's actually a industrial strength and full body, and it is absolutely phenomenal when you get on it. It not only has heat like a heating pad, but it also has it produces a lot of the negative ions that heal the body. It also has a light wave therapy. So it has all these lights that come on, specialized lights that pulse and put light wave therapy through you. Just a wonderful tool, but they're expensive. Takes a little while to get used to them, but I mean, you lay on one of those for 15 minutes and you feel like you were newly born when you get off there. It really, for real.
Wow.
So. Yeah, in addition to the healing I've been doing for a lot of people, you know, I'm also a spellcaster. People will come to me every now and then and say, hey, I've got this situation or that situation, and can you please do a spell for me? And right there is a way I make a little bit of money. I charge them, but I don't overcharge them. I'm not greedy like a lot of people out there are. I charge them a decent, reasonable fee for the work that I do and for the supplies and everything. And then I go about doing their spell work, and I manifest it for them. Of course, if it doesn't manifest, I will always refund you 100%. And by the way, if anybody needs anything like that, just let me know. My email is ravensthrone@protonmail.com. It's R-A-V. ENSTHROWN at protonmail.com. You can catch me there.
Wonderful. And then I know you were really good with court cases, court battles.
Yeah, court cases seem to be one of my specialties, not the only, but court cases are a specialty of mine. I've also done some ghost hunting. I've had some houses where I've had to chase nasty spirits out that were being very malicious towards the new owners of the property, which is always an interesting thing to go do. I'm also highly clairvoyant, highly clairaudient, and clairsentient, and I have a very high degree of energy sensitivity, so I do psychic readings and stuff as well if people want to have one of those. I normally read by people's pictures, so if you want a reading on someone, email me the picture, you know, tell me what you want to tell me about the person or what you want to know about the person, and they can be dead or alive. It doesn't really make any difference. I can usually read them very well and answer your questions.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell a testimonial. I was dealing with somebody, my ex, and I want to give you a testimony. A testimonial. We did a magic together years ago to put a stop to his abuse. One thing was with Azazel and child support, that was it, and everything backfired with him. But the one that we did, and I said, we need to get rid of the parent, we need it, because that control, that's what's keeping me from talking to my daughter. You know, that fucking control, they were the controllers. And she doesn't understand. I try to explain it to her. I said, you love your grandma, but you know what? It's because of her and her Freemason group that kicked me out of the fucking house. You know, they threw me out. I never left. It sounded like I left, I ran away. Bullshit. They didn't give me much of a choice, and I didn't have any money. So anyway, what happened? His ass got hernia really bad. He had to go get surgery. And first of all, it was the mother that passed away. She freaking died of a kidney failure. And she was the freaking controller out of the whole family. She was the one with that had the Freemason group. She freaking died early, shortly after we did our ritual. And then the father died 2 years later. So that's the testimonial.
Yep.
And then people – and I mentioned it on the YouTube, and then that's evil of you to do. I go, you don't even know how evil these fucking bastards are. Yeah, I'm evil. I could be an evil bitch, all right, because I do work with some serious dark forces. I am on the left-hand path, and I have been since for freaking how many years? 12 years, I think, working with Azazel. But I really started coming into my own even more, even heavier, doing some heavy work now for myself anyway. But I can attest to William's work. He's not a bullshitter. He's not a fluffy bunny, Wicca, little witchcraft, freaking, you know, fluffy shit. Sorry. He is He will get shit done.
I went through that stage when I was very young and I first started out in magic, but very quickly found out that that was not where I belonged.
Yeah, me too. I have to admit, I was part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, but I was young. I didn't know anything. You know, it was my open door to magic. The Modern Magic book by Donald Michael Craig was the open door. And then from there, that's when I started to learn. So, you know, we had to start somewhere, William. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. And for everybody.
And be the badasses that we are.
Yep.
So he's the real deal, guys. I'm telling you right now. So if you need his help, so do you have a phone number that you want them to call, or just the email, right? Just let them email you.
I can give him a phone number too. It's 234-214-8816.
Okay, wonderful.
Again, my name is William, and give me a call if you have a problem, or email me, and or if you have a Facebook, you can look me up on there as well and catch me on messages, and I'll see what I can do about helping you.
Yeah, William Miller, out of Ohio. But I noticed there's a lot of William Millers. It was kind of hard to find
before.
Yeah,
that's true.
Email him and then definitely. But I really appreciate this interview and your stories as always. You know, I remember years ago, way back, we were talking about your werewolf story. That was some fun times.
Oh, I can tell that one if you like.
Go for it.
I was visiting a place called Hodo Mountain Wilderness, which is 186,000 square acres of land that sits almost in central Arkansas. I had moved to Arkansas years ago, my wife and I, and we went down to help a friend, and we lived there for about 3 years. And we were always the type that liked to go out camping and hunting and fishing, and of course, we always liked to practice a little magic while we were out, you know, too, during the camping trips. And we liked the places that were kind of out there, huh?
Was
it, Darren?
You got to do magic while you're out there, especially when you're camping and stuff, you know, because that's the perfect time, I think, because obviously there's nobody around. You're in nature, and you can just be one with the energies, and then that's just the basis on where magic actually comes from. It's you connecting your energy with Mother Earth, with all the energies, you know, and then after that, from whatever you've learned on how to project and how to use it, and then,
Yeah. So anyways, we went to this place called Poto Mountain Wilderness. It looked like a great place. It was very unpopulated. You were lucky if you saw one car on that road every 3 days. That's how remote it was. It was at the top of a mountain known as Poto Mountain Wilderness, and the mountain was 16 miles long. It went from 6 miles north of Waldron, Arkansas, all the way over to Oklahoma. I don't remember the name of the town it runs into in Oklahoma, but it goes all the way over into Oklahoma, 16 miles long, and there's only two campsites up there. One is 3 miles in, and the other one is 6 miles in. U.S. Forest Service is actually afraid to go up there. I didn't know this when I first camped up there the first time. Me and my wife and a few friends that I had made down there, we went camping up there one time for the first time, and I had some spell work to do to get rid of some collection agencies and whatnot, and we did the spell work, and it worked like a charm. It worked better than Lucky Charms. So we were happy by the time we got home and found that out. But we completed the spell work that night, and it was getting kind of late. My buddy was already half drunk anyway, just down in the beers. And he went to bed, and then my wife, she was getting tired, so she says, "I'm going to go to bed." I said, "All right, I'm going to be up a little while. I got to clean up the picnic table," because we had tons of food and pots and pans and stuff. And there were bears up there, so I didn't want the bears to come along, you know, and eat any of that. So I had to clean up all the mess and put the pots and pans, after cleaning them, in the trunk and locked them up along with the food, so that way the bears couldn't get at it. Besides, I didn't really want any furry visitors in the camp anyway, so...
Exactly.
Right after we did the spell work and they went to bed, it was about 10 minutes and all hell broke loose. I started seeing the moon turn blood red. I've never, ever to this day seen the moon turn as blood red as it did that night. It was just totally uncanny how blood red it really got. But I said, you know, I kind of said to myself, yep, something's up. I have no idea what. But I was kind of paying attention and still cleaning up the table, right? And there in the tent trying to sleep. And next thing I know, I hear in the distance howling. I thought it was a bunch of dogs, you know, because way down over the one side of the mountain, there's some houses, some farmhouses at the very bottom. But good ways down. I thought maybe it might have been those people's dogs or something. But then I started hearing something moving around the brush down over the hill. There was like terraces on this mountain, and there was a terrace right over the hill that was, oh, I don't know, probably 6 feet down. You could just kind of walk down there pretty much and get on that terrace and walk around. And it was after dark, so I'm trying to figure out what's down there walking around, and I hear it snarling and growling. At first, I thought maybe it was a bear or one of those dogs, and so I just kind of was keeping my eye out, but at the same time, cleaning up everything, and then there was a howling in the distance. There was a bunch of them in the distance howling, and then it decided to come up over the hill and stand right up. Stood up on two legs. I get this big, woolly, black, huge dog standing up on two legs. But then when I looked real careful, it didn't have paws on the front. It had hands with about 3 to 4 inch claws on each finger.
Oh, my God.
The werewolf or something, isn't it?
It was a werewolf. That's how you tell the difference right there. If it has hands instead of paws, it ain't no dog. Right. It's either got to be a dog man or it's got to be a werewolf at that point, because they both have five fingers with sharp 3 to 4 inch claws on the ends. And they're pretty massive.
And what
happened? Size, but eight to nine feet tall. Sometimes you'll find one, it's like seven something. But very terrifying. And I immediately knew we were in deep shit. So I grabbed the machete off the table. Took a machete for camping because it's a great tool for cutting your firewood. It can also be used as an emergency weapon, you know, in a pinch. So I grabbed that off the table, and it's standing there snarling and growling and threatening me. And I run to the car, reach in the glove box, pull out my Star 9mm. I only had 2 10 round magazines back in that day, and a box of 50 extra rounds in the glove box, just one. And I'm faced with a werewolf, and I shot it in the head twice. I shot it square in the face, and it got mad, and it ran back down over the hill. It kind of howled and was grumbling around down there, and I was like, good, maybe I killed it, you know. And, well, nope, it kept moving around. It just kept moving around down there. It got still quiet for a few minutes, and then it was back up and moving around again, and it seemed like it was trying to circle me somehow to try to pull off getting behind me somehow. And I could sense that as well as I could hear it moving down there. I knew which direction it was moving, and I could hear that. But I couldn't actually see it because it was so damn dark over that hill. I've got a machete in one hand and a pistol in the other, and I'm about 3-4 feet from the edge. I didn't want to get too close. And I'm looking down there trying to get a glimpse of it. You know, I didn't want to get too close and get pulled down over the hill because it would have been all bad. I was being careful, but at the same time, I was trying to protect camp. I was the only one awake. I hollered at my wife and my friend. I told them, we're under attack. Get out of bed. Get out of bed now. Grab whatever weapons you have. And my wife came out with her machete. And then my buddy came out with his little 25 caliber pistol. We had a 25 caliber with 2 6-round magazines. And I said, oh, shit, we're so dead. That's what I remember saying back then. I was like, shit, we are so dead, right? Yeah, he was drunk off his ass, too. He was so plastered, he didn't know which way was up, down, left, or right. And I'm like...
Well, if he was seeing double, you just shoot in the middle.
Yeah, I should have just told him, hey, just bag dump if you see it and be done with it, yeah. He didn't even have an extra box of ammo. All he had was he had 12 rounds, 2 6-mile round magazines, that was it.
Wow. And it took 2 to the head, and it was still jumping around.
So we decided to cast up a magic circle again, called the elementals to the quarters. You know, good old, we did good old Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn style. And called up some really strong quarters using the elementals. and I wasn't sure if it was going to work, but I had a theory that because the werewolf is part magical, that it wouldn't be able to pass the magical barrier. Luckily, I was right. Because I told my wife and my friend, get everything packed up, because we heard a whole bunch of them in the distance howling, and the speed of the howling was getting to be insane, as in it didn't sound natural anymore. It was going so fast that it was at hyper speed. And I said, we are not sleeping here tonight. I said, it's just not safe to do. I said, get everything, you guys, get everything packed in the car while I stand guard. And if they come up here, get inside the magical circle here that I've cast up for protection. And let's hope it works. I didn't really know at the time. And it did come back up over the hill. And it came at us, charging at us this time. And it hit that magical barrier, and I swear it was like hitting a brick wall. It knocked it down, just running into it like it was a brick wall.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
So excitedly happy that that actually worked. Because like I said, I had no idea because it is part physical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a scary day. It really was.
Yeah, that was some real Harry Potter shit there. Damn, and it worked as well.
Yes,
just as well.
It really was, actually. And so about 2 a.m. in the morning, we're up on this mountain. We got 3 miles to drive off of it. In the pure dark, there's no street lights up there. It's nothing more than a dirt road with a bunch of big choke holes in it. And if you go more than 5-6 miles an hour, you're going to tear the entire bottom of your car or truck out. So you got to go slow down it. We couldn't even go fast. After we got packed up and everything, I ran, jumped in the car, closed the door, and we took off down the road. I was shouting at the spirits to dismiss the circle as I was leaving, driving down the hill, you know. And that way they wouldn't be pissed off since I left them there like that, you know. And I told everybody, roll up the damn windows and lock the doors. And I told my buddy in the back seat and my wife, I said, keep an eye out in the back because it feels like something's following us. And I'm looking out the side window in the rear view mirror every now and then. And I could swear I saw something moving. And they confirmed that there was something following us. But we finally get on the main road and we had a choice. We could go to Waldron, which was only 6 miles away to the south, and get a hotel for the night, or we could risk driving all the way 40 miles back to Fort Smith, Arkansas, back home. We decided to go home, and the whole time we were on the main road, we were going 40 miles an hour, we still felt like something was following us almost the entire way until we got almost to Fort City limits, and then we no longer felt like we were being followed. But, boy, when we got in the driveway, we said, we're not even unloading the car. It's too risky. Let's just lock the car up. We'll unload it tomorrow. We ran in the house, closed the door, locked the door, jammed the couch against the door, and we all fell asleep together in the living room. Yep, on the floor. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And we were still nervous for a couple of days over that shit, talking about it and everything. I was talking to witches that I knew about it, and I was hearing horror stories about that mountain. I had a friend who was a hedge witch over in Oklahoma. I called her to tell her about it, and she says, oh, no, you shouldn't go up there. That's a haunted mountain. I guess Native Americans who were on the Trail of Tears, some of them escaped when they went past that mountain, when the soldiers were marching them past that undiscovered mountain back then. And they ran up into that mountain and escaped and lived up in that mountain the rest of their lives. And I guess it was the old shaman that lived the longest. And before he died, he cursed that mountain. He cursed that mountain so bad, especially against whites and blacks. He cursed that mountain. And, well, it's been cursed ever since.
Wow.
So... I talked to the shaman that lived on the other side of her property, because there was a Native American reservation on the other side of her property in Oklahoma, and she put me on the phone with him the next day, and he asked me, what mountain are we talking about? I said, Poto Mountain Wilderness. He goes, no, you shouldn't go up there. And I said, why not? And he told me the story, and he also said it was haunted and that it was cursed by the last shaman that lived up there. And he says, but should you happen to not listen to me and go back up there, somehow he knew I was going to go back up there, which I did. As a matter of fact, I went back up there quite a few times. The very next weekend, as a matter of fact, we planned another camp trip, and we went right back up there. Campground number two, which was 6 miles in, thinking that, well, maybe it's a little safer there, you know? Not really, but the old man did give me some wise advice. The old shaman said, if you're going to go back up there and not listen, he said, at least take some tobacco up there. Burn some tobacco to the mountain spirits. Burn some tobacco to the mountain spirits to make peace with the spirits of the mountain. You shouldn't have any more trouble. And we did that when we first got up there. And even though we saw werewolves occasionally, heard them in the distance and so on, even somewhat close to us, they never tried to attack us again after that. See, the old man knew exactly what he was doing. That was when I was much younger. I was only in my 30s, and I was still in the learning process. You know, we're always in the learning process, but, I mean, I was still young and, you know, a bit stupid, you know? So, yeah, but, you know how it is when you're young, you know? You think you're immortal, you're invincible, and, I mean, for some of us, we thought we knew everything, but we really didn't. And so he gave me a wise piece of advice there that actually worked beautifully.
That's good. So, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So if anybody deals with something like that, try burning tobacco.
Yep, always take some tobacco. You can even take something like a black and mild, you know, scented black and mild, you know, cherry flavor, whatever you like, and go out into the area wherever you're going. If it's reported to be haunted or, you know, it's a really negative area, just take a little bowl up there, a little metal bowl, and light it. Or you can buy one of those discs for burning powdered incense on, and you can break it up and put it on there and light it. And just, you know, verbally announce that you're offering it as a peace offering to all the spirits of the area, and that you're not there to harm anything or destroy anything, you know, that you're just there because you want to explore whatever it is that you're doing, and you want to have peace with nature, you know, and or if you're in an old building or something, you know, offer peace to the spirits of the house, the building, the whatever, and you'd be surprised how effective that really is.
Yeah.
It
sounds like a
so
plan.
It's a very simple thing to do.
Wow.
Anyone can do it. But it really does save you a lot of grief in the end. Not that you still won't have some experiences where you're there. You probably will, wherever there is. But you won't be in nearly as much danger, if any at all.
Yeah, that's pretty wicked, wicked stuff. But, yeah, I mean, just letting you know out there, whoever's listening to this show, werewolves do exist. Vampires do exist. Magic really does exist. Okay. And it's entirely up to you to have that power. And you can utilize that same magic to protect yourselves from other entities, if you know what I mean. Governmental bodies. You can use that magic to protect yourself because they too are very magical, and they operate in a very, very magical level with their human sacrifices and all that stuff. If anything, they believe in magic more than many people do because they practice it all the time, their type of magic, right? So that's the moral of the story. And that is pretty much what's running the show. So, you know, you have to realize that there is a big war out there. And learn how to protect yourself. And, you know, like, unlike a lot of the fluffy bunnies and the light workers thinking, oh, we're going to ascend together and all this stuff. I mean, I just pretty much, I call the kettle black right there. Mm-hmm. A lot of bullshit. You have to really do the work. It's not about, oh, all of us together, we're just going to wait until the sun turns a certain color and we're all going to fly away like a bunch of fucking angels. You have to do
they
the work.
They did that with the solar eclipse this past time, too. Did you notice they did that with the solar
eclipse?
Oh,
gosh.
Yes, they did. I saw
bullshit.
A bunch of them online doing that. Oh, you're going to get a great spiritual awakening and, you know, some sort of energy is going to come down from space and you're going to get, you're going to be able to communicate telepathically with everybody on the planet and, yeah, right. Doesn't work that way. You got to put
just,
the work
just quickly,
in. From, yeah.
Just quickly
there,
before wrapping up for this evening, about the eclipse, right? This
yep,
eclipse
yep.
that just passed on the 8th was not
yep.
actually supposed to happen. And at
right.
the same time, they were actually going to delay it by one day for the day after. It was supposed to happen on the 9th, so that means it's prefabricated. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
on the list for an actual real lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. It wasn't supposed to happen. And then when you look at it, there was no moon passing from left to right or right to left. You normally see the celestial
mm-hmm.
bodies crossing in front of each other. All we saw
yeah.
was a shadow. It was there,
yep.
and then it was gone. And it looked as if it went round behind it. And then we
yeah.
hear something about, okay, well, China launched another sun a while ago. Could that be the one that's deceiving us? Could it have been the black
right.
hole sun that come across the front? Because it wasn't the moon. The moon was way across the other side of the friggin' sky.
Unless
and
CERN
there's so many
something.
Videos that were pointing all this out.
Unless CERN had something
huh?
to do with creating it, because they fired up on the very same day.
Yeah. We don't
could
even know what
that.
Happened there. I mean, did they open another porthole? Was that the porthole that opened through the sun? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
we
know either, but...
Still, yeah.
Yeah.
If the rapture
and
happened, we survived
claiming,
it.
There were some that were claiming that they saw Nibiru coming from behind the backside of the sun, and that Nibiru was responsible for causing it. But we had mm-hmm. no rock shower. We had none of the other reported things that normally happen with Nibiru, so... that didn't actually match.
No, something really weird is happening out there, guys. Weirdness. But anyway, we're running out of time here. Oh, they're
maybe
always
some of the...
in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the next show, we can talk more.
Yeah, so on the next show that's coming up, we're going to be on at 4:30 p.m., Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday. If you want to come back on, William, it's perfectly fine if you like to. 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
4:34. That will be about 6-something for me or 7-something for me. Yeah, I could probably come on.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. It's, you know, 90 minutes and everything. And, yeah, we could talk about more stuff, more magical stuff. And then I'd like to get Zep on one day as well, more on her as well. And all of us just talking about, you know, we need to have more magical people on board is what I'm saying. People that are
yep.
utilizing the power of their mind, their brain. And I wanted to let you guys know that we did have a site called movingbeyondthematrix.com, but we ended up taking that down. We ended up changing it to ravenmoonshadowtemple.com. So that is our new temple. It's a Luciferian temple, left-hand path, all that. And the silver and the securecreditor.com is no longer. It is now silverbullettrust.com. For those of you that want the silver bullet trust, the silver bullet for the werewolf, right? Werewolves that come at your door. All right, everyone. But thank you so much, William, for being here and sharing your awesome stories. And please contact William. All right. Contact William if you need some magical help and or healing help, either or. All right. Thank you so much, William. Have a good night, everyone.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep, it was good. Bye-bye.